Welcome to IRO Live with host Bob Bay.
We've been talking about the four phases or sections of life that we have to walk through. Kind of the things that we use, these catchphrases or words that we can use to help us identify where we're at and what's going on. The first one was acceptance. We talked about accepting Jesus, and we talked about accepting where we're at. If you missed that, it's on the podcast. The second one, repentance, was the second one. We talked about turning away from things. It's not just being sorry, it's turning away from things. And then after that comes deliverance. We talked about that last week. There comes a point like when the prodigal son or the lost son came back and his dad met him from afar off. He'd spent all of his money and he came back with the idea he was going to be a slave in his dad, a servant in his dad's house. But his dad loved on his neck. Said, hey, get a robe and put around this guy. Put a ring on his finger, and that was the signet ring, which signified significance. And they threw a party, helped him with the relationships, security, all those needs. You guys remember me talking about the needs? If you weren't here for that, you'll have to go back on a podcast about the needs we have. Tonight, we're on obedience. Woo, that's a fun word, right? Obedience. I like the deliverance part. That part's fun. The obedience seems like a bad thing, but it's not. And it goes with everything that we've talked about, guys. Under the old covenant in the Bible, when people messed up, when the children of Israel, who were the children, the chosen children of God, when the children of Israel messed up, I'm just giving this in the layman's terms, right? When the children of Israel messed up, there were sacrifices that had to be made to atone for that mess up. It was a penalty that was paid, a debt that was owed to set people right with God. There was all kinds of sacrifices for all different kinds of things. That's the old covenant. But this is what God says. I prefer obedience over sacrifice. But this is what people don't understand when it comes to this. They still kind of want to live under the old covenant, trying to be with the new. And so this is what I mean by this. When it comes to obedience, people look at it and they say, well, I have to be good now. I'm going to use an example of giving up smoking. You guys, I had a harder time quitting smoking than I did quitting meth. I'm telling you, it was harder to quit smoking than it was to quit shooting meth. I don't know why that was. And it messed with my brain. It messed with my sense of reality. Quitting smoking. Crazy. Because I was so new at the whole thing and I didn't understand certain things, I thought, well, yeah, now God's going to be happy with me. Because I quit smoking, right? He's going to be happy with me. Wouldn't you think that? But that's totally the wrong way to think about it. He wasn't unhappy with me smoking. He was just sad because of what the consequences of smoking were for me. But this is the frame of mind we get. We think, I gave this up for you. I gave this up for you. I've been doing these good things for you. That's a form of sacrifice in our life. We want to be able to make these sacrifices and then God owes us. I quit smoking, God, you owe me. We don't think it out loud, but listen, let me put it another way now. God would tell me, Bob, you need to stop writing checks you can't cover. And God would tell me that. Bob, you need to stop writing checks you know you can't cover. Yeah, but God, I would justify. Yeah, but I'll be able to make it up and it's going to be okay, blah, blah, blah. But then things would go wrong and I would think, oh, that's God punishing me for not listening to him. I didn't look at it as the consequences for making bad choices. I didn't look at it as in the consequences for being disobedient. I looked at it as he was punishing me. So you see the difference. See what I'm laying out here. You with me? I had this mentality of, if I do good, then God will do good things for me. He'll be happy with me, and he'll do these wonderful things for me. But if I mess up, then he'll be mad at me, and he'll punish me. You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but how many people have felt that way in their life? I think we all have at one point or another have felt like, God's going to punish me if I do this. But listen, this is what ends up happening, and this is what happened to the children of Israel under the old covenant. They would say, yes, we're not supposed to do this, but we'll offer a sacrifice and that'll get us off the hook and then God will be happy with us. They would be disobedient, offer these sacrifices, and because they felt like they were square with God now. You guys ever make deals with God? Huh? You ever make deals with God? It's all right, I already told you I did. But this is what that scripture means. God requires obedience, not sacrifice. And this is what's happening. When God lays these things out for us, and listen, we're all in different places, right? The Apostle Paul says in the Bible, he says, for some, they should not eat meat, and that's fine. But others can eat meat, and that's fine too. We're all in different places, right? You're held accountable for things at this level. I'm held accountable for some things at a different level because I'm farther down the road, right? It used to be if I went in Home Depot and I picked up, like say I picked up a tape measure in the tool aisle because I wanted to measure some trim over in the trim cutting area. I left my tape measure in the truck, so I go get tape measure from the tape measure aisle, right? Go over, measure out my trim, trim it, throw that tape measure on the shelf and go about my business. Mm-mm-mm. God would say, you go back there and you get that tape measure and you put that back where you got it from. It's not their job to come around here and police up after you, pick up after you. You're a grown man. No, but they get paid. No, they don't get paid to come clean up after you. But now maybe you guys aren't held to that level. You see what I'm saying? There was a time where I wasn't. I've been saved for a long time before God started telling me. And you guys, you know what? I still even now, I don't think about it like it's not consciously, I'm testing it. But I do. There'll be this thing. I'll have this caulk. I'll pick it up because it'll be on this end cap thing and I'll grab this caulk. Oh yeah, I need that. You know what? I think I have this caulk already on the job. Bob, put it back where it goes. Now that sounds silly, right? That's God doing a work in me to teach me to listen and hear his voice. Because that's silly. The caulk is silly. The tape measure is silly. It doesn't really matter. But God's teaching me to hear his voice. Because this is what matters. When I'm driving north on 270 in rush hour traffic, and God impresses on my heart, you need to get off up here and you need to head east on 44 and go up to Kirkwood Road, Lindbergh Road, and go up. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm here. I might as well just stay here. And I get caught in traffic because there's an accident up there. And then that makes me late. And then who knows what the repercussions of that are. Here's another one. This is an example. You're walking down the road, and every time you go to the, say you're out here and you're going to go down to Schnucks, and every time you go to Schnucks, you walk up this road. And you walk this way every time, and you're walking that way every time, because that's just what you do. And God says, this time, you better go over two blocks to the left. Make this left and go two blocks to the left. Yeah, but that's going to be so much further. Why would I want to do that? And you guys may be thinking, ah, God don't talk to you like that. Sure he does. God says that he cares about every sparrow that falls. If he cares about that, he cares about every hair on my bald head. I wish he would have cared more about some of them that left me already. He cares. And so you say, that's no big deal. But it just so happened that the dope man is on that corner up there. And you've been clean for a week. And the dope man's there. And he's going to make you a deal. He's going to front you something. And then pretty soon you're back on the dope. Or there's that guy up there that knows you got $10 in your pocket. And he's going to take it from you. And if you just would have listened, you could have avoided that. That's why God wants us to obey him, is because he knows what's coming. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows everything. In every aspect of your life, God wants to direct and guide you. We have to learn in the stupid things like the tape measures and the caulk so that we can learn on the other things. Pam and I may be having a fight and that raising up in me and I'm wanting to throw a fit and be all ignorant. God says, Bob, you better not do that. You better not do that. And I have a choice. That could end up causing us to fight and separate us for days. Create that wall. You guys know how it is when you fight. Put up that wall in there. I don't talk to them. So that wall gets put up. Well, then what's that going to cause for her? How's that going to affect her choices? What door does that open up to create problems for people? All because we don't listen. I know that I can look at my life and see the problems in it. Me being in business for myself, you guys remember me talking about writing checks on work I hadn't done yet. Now imagine I've had jobs where God has given me a thing on the inside. Don't take this job. Oh, yeah, but I'm going to make lots of money on this job. This is going to be a good job. I'm going to make lots of money on this job because it looks good. It smells good. I'm going to make good money on this job. Problem is there are things going on that job that I couldn't see and I couldn't foresee. And I've had situations where I get into those jobs thinking, okay, this is going to take me about 7 weeks. I hit the 9-week mark. Well, I can't go back and say I need more money for this. I committed to do A, B, C, and D for X amount of money. I'm in the 9th week. This is my 2nd week of working for free. If I bid it to make so much per week for 7 weeks, well, when I hit that 9th week, you can divide that out and say, well, okay, there were jobs I would have been better off quitting and going to McDonald's. It's just reality of it is. Of course, I had to walk in integrity because I said I was going to do it. And I had to do it, even if I had to work for free for a month. All because I didn't listen. I wasn't obedient. God tried to warn me. But in the beginning, I would see it as him punishing me for doing something wrong. I didn't understand. You see the difference? I saw it as him punishing me because of all of this stuff. I had not sacrificed. I had not made the right amount of good choices to make him happy. So I had to just suffer. It's just the way it was, rather than God letting me walk in the consequences of not following him, not listening to him. When I quit doing meth and drinking, I drank every day. Every day. I wouldn't say I got blackout drunk every day, because after a while, you drink for so many years, you build up a tolerance. But I would be rolling a heavy buzz until I went to sleep. I did meth every chance I could get. I wouldn't say I did it every day because I couldn't get it every day. But there were a lot of times where I'd be doing it weeks on end. Staying awake. Pam would know I'd try and hide from her. Because at first she was my drug buddy, my party buddy. So she knew. Yeah, Bob's been awake for 3 days. Are you doing meth? No. Wouldn't dream of it. You've been awake for 3 days. I say all that to say, because of that, I had a frame of mind. My normal was a lying, manipulating, deceptive person. That was my normal. That's who I was. I had to be that way to maintain my web of lies, to continue in my life. That's just who I was. That was normal to me. I didn't see it as like, oh, I'm a horrible person. That's just what you got to do to get by sometimes. Right? If Pam would just lighten up, I wouldn't have to lie to her all the time. Let me party. Nothing wrong with a guy having a few beers when he gets home. Right? Sometimes you need to smoke a joint, you know, every once in a while, just to kind of relax. You don't want to get too down from smoking that joint, so you got to do a little bit of meth to just help you out. But I worked hard. I know I'm creating a caricature of this, but this is real, right? This is real. So I started out that way. But I didn't automatically, like, the clouds opened up and a dove came down from the heavens and landed on me. And God said, this is Bob and who I am well pleased. And everything's wonderful from now. I'm a Christian floating on the clouds. Just give me my harp now. I got this thing. No, he had to teach me to make baby steps. You guys remember that movie, What About Bob? With Bill Murray? There's a Bill Murray movie called What About Bob? There's a psychologist, and he wrote a book called Baby Steps. Baby Steps. You have to learn baby steps. But that's really true. You guys remember Shrek, right? Ogres are like onions. They have layers. Right? God had to peel these things off of me a bit at a time because I was a donkey on the edge. I'm a donkey on the edge. God had to teach me the little things so that I could get a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. He had to begin teaching me little things about me. You guys, I would listen to hours and hours and hours. There's no telling how many hours of programming, talk radio I listened to about being a parent because I knew I was jacked up and had no idea how to raise kids. I was a mess. I had no idea how to raise kids. And so I would listen to hours. There were 2 half-hour programs about parenting on the radio every day. I would listen to them every day. And they'd be talking about these things, about consequences and about setting boundaries for your children and just all of this stuff, rewards and discipline and just all of this stuff. They would talk about it and I would learn it and I would come home and I would talk to Pam and things would be going on with my kids and I'd be thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? And then I'd be like, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to handle these situations. I would pray to him, God, you got to teach me how to do this. And then like 2 days later, that topic would come up on the radio program and they would talk about it. And I'd be like, whoa, this is so cool. I think God heard me. I think God listens. And I'd learn that and then I would go apply it to my kids. They didn't tell me this directly, but they taught me about things about applied consequences and natural consequences. And sometimes we apply consequences for bad behavior to our children so they don't have to learn natural consequences, right? If you teach them how to understand that there are consequences for their behavior when they're young, when they get older, if they decide they want to rob a liquor store, they understand there's consequences for that. And you're not the parent who's saying, but they were such a good kid. I know they robbed this liquor store, but they were such a good kid. I did not believe in spanking. You guys may have believed in that. I didn't believe in spanking unless it was something that like threatened their life. Like if they ran into active traffic, I might have been willing to spank them. But I don't believe in spanking. But this is what I would do. I could not get across to my kids to shut the door when they go outside when the air conditioner is running. I'd leave the door standing wide open. This is what I do. All right, you left that door open. You're making that air conditioner work so much harder with that door open. I want you to go out there and apologize to that air conditioner for making it work so hard. And I want them to believe that you mean you're sorry. And they would look at me. Go out there and apologize to that air conditioner for making it work so hard. Because they were not at that stage where they would understand, well, this costs more money, it's energy efficient, it's going to cost me more money by, you know, they didn't understand all of that. But this is what they understood. I'm sorry for making you work. I don't think you mean it. No, I'm sorry for making you work so hard. Guess what? They stopped leaving the door open. This is another one. I had 2 girls, and they would start fighting with each other. Get mad and start fighting with each other. Well, when kids get mad and start fighting with each other, if you jump in there, whoa, that's what I used to do. I'll tell you those stories down the road if you hang around. You'll hear the stories about how dysfunctional Bob was. But this is where I was learning and I was getting a little bit older or a little bit more mature. And so they would start fighting. And if you jump in, you kids better stop that fight or whatever. That just escalates, right? Hey, do the bullwinkle right now. And you guys are asking, who's Bullwinkle? You guys are all too old to remember the old Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. Bullwinkle was a moose. So you don't have to have known the cartoon. I'm just going to say Bullwinkle was a moose. And so I would say, do the Bullwinkle. And they instantly knew this is what they had to do. You put your thumb up against the side of your head and you stick your fingers up in the air like antlers, like moose antlers on both hands. And I would make my kids face each other. Doing the Bullwinkle. Let me tell you something. You can try and stay mad all you want. But when you're standing in front of somebody and they're doing this, you can't help but laugh. Right? You can't help but laugh. Those are the things I learned. Because God walked me through that progression. I had no idea. I had no idea how to make it all happen, how to be a good dad. When I started out, I mean, my oldest, who's now 36, she was 18 months old. We would all have our friends come over. There'd be meth in trays up underneath the couch she could have gotten into, crawled into. We'd all be sitting around getting high, smoking weed. She'd sit in the middle of the floor. We'd order pizza and open that pizza box up and set it in the floor. And she could chew on our crust, teething thing. We call them pizza bones, you know, the crust. And so she could chew on that pizza thing. She'd be down there. I know she'd be high from contact buzz. You couldn't hardly see across the room. You get eight people sitting in a living room smoking weed. And it was that bad weed from back in the 80s, you know, where you had to smoke a half a pound to get a buzz. I mean, I'm exaggerating. That stuff now, my goodness. I almost hallucinate just if I'm downwind out here when somebody walks by on the sidewalk and I catch a breeze of it, I'm like starting to see stuff. I'm going to have to get a blue chip. I just relapsed. I'm having fun, you guys. But so God had to bring me out of that. I had to learn. I had to understand that there would be consequences for that, for her down the road. If she lived in that growing up, if she lived in that environment, then that would be normal to her. And so what would end up happening? She would end up sitting in a circle in the living room with all of her friends, getting high, while her children were sitting in the floor. And that would be the normal. And then what would happen? So then her children's children would sit in a circle, getting high, watching their children. I didn't want that. When it was happening, I didn't think about it. It didn't occur to me. I was just, we're just having fun hanging out with a friend, smoking a little weed. Then the first 5 years I was clean, I just knew I couldn't party anymore because I wrecked my life when I did it. That's what the focus was. It took God walking me through this progression. When my kids started getting into their preteens and that, and seeing what was going on with all of their friends and thinking, oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God they're not walking in that. Thank God. 10, 12 years ago, I quit. So that now they're not in that place. I'm saying that to inspire you to think. I'm not passing judgment. I said we're all in different places, right? We're all held accountable for different things. But if something is going on in here, as I talk about all of this, maybe God's wanting to take you to a new place. Maybe God's wanting to bring you to another place. Maybe he wants to do that because, like with me, I couldn't manage 20 bucks in my pocket back then. Now I'm a business owner and I have tens of thousands of dollars passing through. If God didn't teach me stuff then, if I couldn't handle 20 bucks still, how could I manage now? Right? So he had to walk me through that process. I say all that to say it's about obedience, not because God wants to punish you. It's about because God wants to prepare you. He wants to prepare you for bigger and better things. He says you can be ready when the time comes. But you have to be obedient in little things before you can be responsible for the big things. You show that through obedience.
Thanks for listening. Please comment and subscribe for upcoming podcasts. To order your copy of My Real Life, go to the Take Action page at our website, reallifeministries-stl.com. Or go to Real Life Ministries STL on Facebook.